Everybody, there's some things that thinking about this morning. I think it was the other night. Me and Jeff were talking on Friday night, and we were just fellowshipping. And you know, one of the things that we have in First John, the epistle of John, First John, is having fellowship. You're having fellowship with the apostles that have the direct anointing, and your fellowship up the chain. You know, you partake of that anointing. You take a look at Moses, you know, and, you know, he had many people that prophesied. Yeah, I mean, prophetess and prophets and stuff that carried out his word and stuff, but they were all partaking of one anointing. That was Moses' anointings, which was really Jesus' anointing. You know, and then when they thought themselves to be better or could hear just like Moses could, they quickly got put in place. Because that wasn't the case. They were actually partaking that anointing. But I was thinking about this, you know, and if we're a body, guys, I mean, truly, when we come together in faith and one accord, the Lord moves mightily. Where it says, two or three gather in my name, there I am in the midst. Amen. And that one accord is of the same mind. That's all of one mind. Of one faith. To serve the Lord. To do the Father's will. That's what that's about. And many of us coming together a lot of times is that we don't all have that wrapped up. But praise God, that's the point of fellowship anyways. You get shed of that. You know, the point of fellowship in there is one, it's food for your soul. You know, you get shed of, you fellowship to what? Receive, and also to minister unto. That we learn to become of the same mind, and love one for another. And plus, guys, you know, I was looking about, you know, me and Jeff were just talking about stuff, and talking about the fight, and talking about the battle. Hey, you know what? Me and Jeff walked away knowing what to pray for one another for. You know, and if we don't spend this time together, you know, we don't even know what's going on. You know, I know what's going on with Brad. I know what he's looking down. I know what's on his plate. Man's got a lot on his plate. If I didn't hang out with Brad, I would never know that. And how can I ever even love him or pray for him or consider him if I don't? You know, it's hence I'm out 70 hours a week on the job, man. I want to shorten that time up, man. I want to have more time with the family and one with one another. I think it would be good. So I got that in prayer. Y'all guys, keep that in prayer for me, please. You know, I'm hoping after the minister's conference, I'm expecting something different. Really am, because the Lord's good. The Lord's good. But I want to go to Hebrews a little bit. Hebrews, let's see here. I just sorry. Hebrews 10:23. You know, and I looked this up on online Bible this morning because this is one of the things that just. That was clear to me more than anything than this past week. And it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, just right there, look, the Lord is faithful. He is the example of what faithful is. Amen. And we all have that testimony in our lives of what the Lord's done for us and His faithfulness. Not ours, His. So let's hang on to that with nothing wavering. What does it say in James? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God and He will give to all men liberally. And He'll give to all men liberally without wavering. That's in faith. You trust in the Lord. You trust in what He's done for you with everything you got. With everything you got. Because we all know the Lord's good. And even those times where you just are just down and out, Here comes the Lord. What are you doing? Or here comes one of his ministers. What are you doing? Wake up, bud. The Lord's good. Loves you. Look what he's done for you. Get up. Walk in that victory, bud. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. And then I'll continue on. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is that? Judgment. The end day. And you never know when your time card is going to be called, man. You know, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So, and it doesn't matter about tomorrow. The Lord's going to take care of that. It doesn't matter about the past. Repent, the Lord's forgiving you. If you haven't repented, go ahead and repent. But praise God in that. So what you doing now with it? The day's coming. Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And we have that opportunity daily. To what? Love one another. But if I'm going to provoke, you know, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, you know, how are we going to do that if we don't ever spend time with one another? How are we going to know each other's needs if we're not communicating with one another? How are we going to know that unless we're humbling ourselves and saying, going to the people of the fellowship and saying, man, I'm having this issue. How are you going to know that something's in the way of your heart between you and the Lord unless you're fellowshipping and it is revealed unto you? I mean, it's a big point. We are a body. And sometimes what the enemy does, that he seeks to divide that. He likes to cause what? Division. Break us up from each other. I know there's a scripture reference to it. I just doesn't come to mind. But praise God. But sometimes in our mind we get to thinking we do this stuff on our own. Or we're out there on our own. That's what the enemy likes to play in on our carnal mind. You're out there, you're all alone. Nobody gives a crap. But no, rebuke it. Come together. Come into that body. That's the lifeline. There's really no other way around it. I know for me, I am called to this fellowship. I am called to this body. I have not even tried to go to another church, even when I left this ministry, because I know that's not where I was called to be. And I know this is where the Lord's called me to be. And I knew, no, if I was going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, I had to be in the body. There was no way around it. This is what the way the Lord set up for me. And it's been good to me. And as I submitted unto my authorities, as I submitted unto the Lord's way into this, it's been a huge blessing to me, my family. The Lord used my screw up and my family as to anchor me down into the body. It's one thing for me to go off and be stupid and act like myself. But when it's on other people's account, when other people's lives depend on it, that's a whole new matter, man. That's a whole new matter. Many of us here are fathers and mothers. You know, think about that. Think about that. But it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much as you see the day approaching. Look, we have a choice. We have free will. We can meet up here on Sundays, and you can meet up here on Thursdays. But are you truly getting involved in the body? Are you truly trying to line up with the Lord's authority in His way? Are you truly getting to know one another? Know what their needs are. praying for them. I know I'm guilty of not. I know I've sat up in there, played video games, and everybody's hanging out. That's fine. I'll stay over here. You know? And I'm talking as far as physically, but I'm talking about, look, spiritually, what are you lining yourself up with? When this fellowship, when he talks about in 1 John, when he talks about, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, that you may have fellowship with us, that your joy may be full. The Lord has given these apostles and these prophets their anointing for what? To hand them down to the other people. It's a line of authority, folks. Jesus walked into that perfect line of authority. He did not do anything that the Father told him not to do. He did everything the Father told him to do. Perfect obedience. He was the perfect example. Do you think it's going to be different for us? No. But praise God. But praise God. But this fellowship, we looked up that word fellowship one night. And this fellowship means into agreement with, standing on the same thing. That means you agree with the Lord in His ways. That's the other thing about it. You know, I have a brother right now who's going through a pretty rough time. Something traumatic happened. And I was talking with him yesterday, and I know he was having a hard time, but he stood and praised the Lord that James was there because somebody almost died. And I told him this. I said, remember, you're not alone. It may be physically you may be alone, but we're here in spirit and we're praying for you. And what I should have mentioned, I mentioned more importantly, the Lord's with you, James. He's going through something I wouldn't want to go through right now. But praise God, it looks like there's a turn of events. And the Lord used James mightily in the situation. Mightily. And that's a praise the Lord. So praise God, he was there. But you see, even in that, he's far away, but still, I'm glad I called him and had that fellowship. I knew what he's needed. I knew what he's going through. I had heard something, but I firsthand talked to him and brought the reality of the situation to me. Knew what I could pray for him about. You know, that's how we're to be one, love for one for another. You know, and if you want to see this body grow, you want to see this move, you want to see the Lord move? How many of us want to see the Lord move? His hands. Praise God. Everybody raise their hand. Are we willing to do what it takes to see the Lord move? That's the real question. But praise God, there's an assembly here. There's assembling together. It says not to forsake it, right here in Hebrews. And we have that opportunity now to become as one body, one man, moving forward to do one will. And it's important to be a part of that. And I believe that that is going on right now anyways. But I want all to come on board with it. You know? It's a wake-up call, guys. What are you going to do? We're going to come together and move forward in the Lord, or are you just going to hang out and watch the train go? Because it's going. Let's not deceive ourselves thinking we're in a good place when we're not. Let's honestly take a fervent look at where we're at. Let's get with the Lord. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, show me where I lack. I want to know who you are. When the day of the Lord comes and He comes in that cloud, I want to go up in the air and meet Him. Lord, that's how I want to know Your voice. Amen. So show me, Lord, why I don't. You know, that's the prayer that we all need to be seeking after. We all need to be after knowing the Lord, because He's good. And we know what Matthew 7 says about it. Many, many shall say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many wonderful works? And I will confess unto them, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Now first you take, I've seen this clear last time, first you take that verse, and what was it all about? What? What they did. Have we not? Have we not? Have we not? Not, it's because, Lord, what you did. It's what you did. Let's be a part of that body. Let's be that body. What was that song we were singing this morning about the army? Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Great is the army that what? Carries out His word. The Lord's asking us now, are we going to be that army? I want to be that great army. What's bring it back? Doers of the word are His army. You know, so praise God. Praise God. I think with that, I'm going to leave it off. Thanks for listening, guys.
If I'd known I was going to be up here so quick, I wouldn't have said anything. See how you are? Yeah, the doers of the word, great is the army that carries out His word. And doers of the word, same thing. If you fancy yourself as anything other than part of His army, then you're not a doer of His word. Not having you just sit back and watch stuff happen while He brings the kingdom to you. You're in a fight. You're in a fight to stay. To cast off the old man. You're in a to stay in pursuit of that which, as Paul said, Christ has apprehended me for. You know, I strive to apprehend that which I was apprehended of God for. And that is a fight. He's preparing us to be an army. And as we were looking at 2 Corinthians 10, where it talks about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, there is a warfare going on in the heavenlies. And you're either on one side or the other. And that battle is going to manifest itself here in the final battle. And we will be brought back to fight with the Lord. against the principalities and powers of this world, against the forces of Lucifer. So, it is with great emphasis that passage in Hebrews, and I think I'm going to go over it again. I'll start in Hebrews 20:10-22. There's a whole bunch of setup to this in verse 10 and previous, in chapter 10 and previous. There's really nowhere here I can come into this that isn't in the middle. So I encourage you to spend some time, and if you don't know what this is talking about, get with one of us. But spend some time reading it. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Our conscience was evil. It had to be cleansed. We're full of guiltiness for the selfish, prideful things that we've done. Our conscience is weighed down with all of our failings. And unless the Lord cleanses that, when the Lord cleanses that, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's why there was a sprinkling. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. That means that what we say, we do. We talk about today about pursuing a profession. And when somebody refers to somebody out there, they refer to them as a brick mason or a lawyer or a doctor, or a politician, a public servant. For all of these many years has passed, he's served the public with all of the public's money. So, you know, I digress. Our profession is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if our profession is going to be that, then our actions need to show that. A brick mason has all the bricks he's laid, right? He can take you by and show everything he's laid. Yeah, this was my job, that was my job. If you're a servant of Jesus Christ, well, I needed this and I needed that. That's not showing anything that you've accomplished towards the end of promoting and fostering His kingdom and its establishment here in the body in the kingdom. That's what we're here for. The next verse. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. This is what we come together for. Some of us are off. We come together, get provoked. Well, Brad's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I'm not, right, Philip? I'm not. That provokes you, right? Actually, Brad can be very provoking, but that's another story. I'm stunned, shocked at look of utter amazement on his face. So, there's a purpose for all this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day approaching? Yeah, and what happens after that? When you think you can separate yourself from the body, then how does that work out for you? And that's where he goes from here. That's why it gets kind of ugly. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. If you're not in the body, you're out of the body. How's that going to work out when you decide you want to do your own thing after you're in heaven? How's that going to work out? So it's a pretty serious thing for you to learn how to get together and become part of the unity of a body, and to learn to provoke one another to love and good works, because the day's coming when you're not going to have a choice in that matter anymore. And you're going to have to be content with love and good works and glorifying the Father. Because that's all you're going to be around for. To please Him. If we still sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Jesus has already been crucified, and you received His grace, and you got there. But if you think you can afford yourself the luxury of withdrawing from the body here and coming back to it anytime you want, all right, that may be well and good, and that may work for a while. But you're not learning how to keep in the fellowship of the communion of saints and not separate yourself with these nasty consequences in heaven. We're here supposed to be learning how to get this stuff right. The next verse, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. If you have separated yourself from the body here, you have become an adversary. What happened with Lucifer, right? He said, you know, I too can be like God. The same thing he pitched to Adam and Eve. Same thing he pitched to Eve. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Pretty simple. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. If you died under two or three witnesses under the Mosaic covenant, the law, if when you've received grace and mercy, now you're in the heavenly kingdom, and you say, you know what, that was nice, but I can fall after the sin of Lucifer, and you know, I can choose my own way.
That's you've counted the grace of the Lord as nothing to you. How much sore punishment? We know him that hath said, "Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord." And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. When you're not perfect. And you haven't been brought there by the perfection that is Jesus, because you're not. You have to continue to trust in his perfection there. That faith is going to be the same faith that got you there, is going to be the same faith that sustains you there. And our hearts are corrupt. We're going to want to have to continue to desire that more than anything else. Because verse 31, it is literally a terrible thing to fall into the hands. We're talking about judgment here. If you are unprotected and unruly and fall in the hands of the living God, it's a terror to you. It's not going to be pretty. You know, we have been given a measure of grace here. We haven't really seen the terror of the Lord. Unless you have seen yourself as he sees you, you haven't got a clue. Don't be trifling with him. The reason we are here in this life, doing this thing that we're doing here on Sunday and Thursday and on Tuesday night and Wednesday night, the reason we're doing this is so that we can learn to get this stuff right here, because the pop quiz is in eternity. We're being molded into a vessel that will glorify and honor and please him. And that doesn't come naturally to us. If we count all that as an unholy thing, it wasn't really worth anything to us. Don't stink to be us. And that's the permanent stink. That's the one there's no turning back from. I'll skip a little bit to verse 36 for the sake of time. Does it take me forever to explain the stuff in between? Even if I could. "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." The first thing you got to know is the promise is good, and you want to receive it. And all you need, remember what we looked up, this word, this patience word. It's an unswerving devotion, an alliance, an allegiance to a principle or a commandment or a person who deserves that loyalty and who is, in this case, no matter what sort of temptation or trial comes on you, you stay the course. That's what this patience is. You are committed to him to that end. Come hell or high water, come whatever comes. You're not moving off of that. You're not deviating from the course. You're not moving from the path. That's what this patient word is. You have need. You think you have. I know I have need of that unswerving commitment. No matter what. That's part of what we're developing. We need to learn how to walk this out. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. There's a promise for having done the will of God. And it's eternity. Because He's good. And hear the hope. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. You think you're going to be just and justified, you're going to live by faith. As we go into Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. Without faith, it's difficult to please God. It's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's all we're saying here. He's coming, and he's going to reward those that have diligently sought him. We are not of them who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. It's important that we get perfected here. Because if Lucifer couldn't stay in heaven because of pride and iniquity, what makes you think you can? That's why we forsake not the gathering together of the saints. That's why we provoke ourselves to love and good works. That's what our job is for one another. That is a necessity. It's God's way. Receive His Word, we hear His preaching of the Word, and we keep rubbing up against one another until we are provoked to love and good works. Don't run off in a snit, we get provoked to love and good works. So, Lord, you're right. I'm absolutely wrong. And you move on. Because He has promised an inheritance to those who will live by faith. And it never changes. You're still living by faith all the time. For eternity, you're still living by faith. And a confidence that the Lord is good and He delivers on His promises. So that's why it's important not to forsake the gathering together of the body. If you're not in the body, you're out of the body. If you're out of the body, do you have life? No. And the verse that comes before that, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another. Let's consider what we need. Consider our needs, considering what we're going through. Ask the Lord to give us what will help to provoke the others of us to love and good works. That's what we're called to do. And He will honor and deliver on His word. Because He's good and He sought to be good to us. His word is true. And it stands forever and ever.